Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. More than 60 House Republicans are touring the southern border today to get a firsthand look at the migrant crisis. House Speaker Mike Johnson led the group.
It was estimated on our tour just a moment ago that if the Biden administration would reinstate just the Remain in Mexico policy, it could stem the flow by probably 70% or more. But he refuses to do it.
The State Department's responding to the deadly bombings in Iran today, where more than 100 people were killed. Spokesman Matthew Miller.
It's too early, at least for us, to be able to say what might have caused it.
But he says the U.S. was not involved. Meantime, the White House says it cannot confirm whether an Israeli strike killed a top Hamas leader in Beirut. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
I would just tell you that Al-Houri was a noted designated global terrorist. And if he is in fact dead, nobody should be shedding a tear over his loss.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin State Capitol building received a false bomb threat this morning. It was one of several state capitol buildings across the country to receive such a threat today. The building did not go into lockdown or need to evacuate, as the email threat was quickly deemed a hoax. A spokesperson with the Department of Administration says that they took additional safety measures to ensure the safety of everyone in the building. Respiratory illnesses are on the rise in Wisconsin, and there's no let-up in sight. Dr. Jeffrey Potoff is Chief Quality Officer for UW Health.
We are seeing an increase in number of patients admitted with respiratory illnesses compared with the number of patients admitted around Thanksgiving time. We're up about 40%.
Hospitals are requiring masks again. About 1,000 people in Wisconsin died from COVID-19 last year. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Officials are looking for the public's assistance in cleaning up the Christmas Village at Irvine Park. According to a WEAU report, the cleanup of the village can take 6 to 8 weeks to finish, as volunteers need to store over 125,000 lights and miles of extension cords, and there's typically only a handful of volunteers each year. Anybody who is interested in helping out simply needs to visit the park, as volunteers will be out there every day at about 8 a.m. until the whole Christmas village is packed away. The Eau Claire Parks and Recreation Department is announcing the start of the Carson Capers scavenger hunt this month. According to a WQOW report, the scavenger hunt will take residents throughout different landmarks and places in the park to solve it, giving them a chance to get outside, enjoy the park, and learn some Eau Claire history. The event officially began on Tuesday, and residents can register online to compete for prizes upon the conclusion of the scavenger hunt. There are 17 clues for players to uncover. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
The Badgers win over Iowa. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College basketball, Wisconsin beat the Iowa Hawkeyes 83-72 at the Kohl Center. The Badgers getting help from players off the bench, like Kamari McGee, with 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a bucket. How much did it mean for Wisconsin? Max Klesmit.
Life. You know, you look at the stat sheet and you see 3 steals in the column. That's huge.
Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
You know, for having 10 or 11 days off, I thought this was, you know, we responded to it. I thought we looked a little rusty early. Any win in this league is important.
NBA, after losing to the Pacers at home, the Bucks are now in Indianapolis to play the Pacers again tonight. Adrian Griffin on the loss Monday.
We had some really good defense possession. We just couldn't finish them off with a rebound. So that really, really hurt us. But we got it. Quick turnaround. We'll make our adjustments and watch the film and get ready.
That's the Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Are you ready to get smacked with a cold front? It's dropping south through the state today, bringing flurries and light snow chances throughout the afternoon. Only a trace is expected to accumulate, but temperatures plummeting to the teens tonight and providing plenty of sunshine for tomorrow. Right now, it's 30.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at CivicMedia.us. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap. The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Wednesday edition, or as I'd like to call it, Dom, the Devil's Never Bomb Hump Day edition. Happier, happy hour. Welcome to it, man.
We never bomb. Great to be with you, Crudy. Happy, happy hour to us all.
Dom, while I can't wait, and I'm relishing the opportunity to talk about the porn star, former chancellor of our fine alma mater, soon to be my son's alma mater as well. Congratulations to my youngest.
Yeah, well
got
done.
His acceptance from the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. It's a better college than when we went there.
It got a whole lot better once we left, Gertie.
It did. But Dom, before we get there, let's talk about Donald Trump and his appeal this afternoon to the U.S. Supreme Court, specifically his appeal of the 14th Amendment issue in Colorado, right? The Colorado Supreme Court had said he is disqualified from the ballot. But the problem is going to be this U.S. Supreme Court. They are going to get dragged kicking and screaming. And this is really about politics in a big way, or at least the MAGA are going to think it is, right? They don't need no stinking constitution. They just want Trump on the ballot. So, a little of the reporting at the Hill. Decisions kicking former President Trump off the ballot in two states, Colorado and Maine, are amping up the pressure on the Supreme Court to resolve questions about Trump's eligibility under the 14th Amendment. The Trump campaign appealed the Maine ruling Tuesday and is expected to do the same in Colorado. My understanding is they've done so, Dom. The latter of which especially puts the spotlight on the Supreme Court and its 6-3 conservative majority. Oh, they got a block, do they? Which includes three justices Trump nominated during his first term in the White House, and none of them are named Merrick Garland. The looming decisions for the Supreme Court risk thrusting the justices into a political spotlight at a fraught time for the nation's highest court, I'd say, which has already been forced to confront other matters implicating Trump and the future of the 2024 race. And the battle over Trump's criminal immunity is expected to soon return to the justices, and they've already agreed to weigh in on the scope of the obstruction charged used against Trump and hundreds of January 6th defendants. But the 14th Amendment issue could distinctively stand out. Legal experts long anticipated the patchwork of challenges would reach the Supreme Court, which has never squarely resolved the meaning of the 14th Amendment's insurrection ban, with many observers believing the justices will ultimately keep Trump's name off the ballot. Pardon me. Keep it on the ballot. One way or another, Dom. They're going to get you. Some state courts toss lawsuits challenging Trump's primary ballot listing, kicking the can down the road to the general election. But the Colorado Supreme Court's extraordinary ruling knocking Trump off the ballot suddenly provided the justices in Washington with a major vehicle to resolve the weighty legal questions soon rather than closer to Election Day. Do you think they'll do it soon, Dom?
I think they will do it soon.
Now, the amendment...
Yeah, I mean, given the time frames of the ballots that have to get printed and sent out to, you know, people overseas and then to everyone else a few weeks after that, yeah, man, this time is certainly of the essence.
The amendment prohibits someone from holding any office under the United States if they engaged in insurrection after taking an oath to support the Constitution. Now, citing Trump's actions surrounding the January 6, 2021 Capitol attack, more than two dozen challenges to his ballot eligibility have been filed across the country. And in Colorado and Maine, the only states to rule Trump ineligible so far, his name will remain on the ballot while he appeals. Both states hold primaries on Super Tuesday, Dom. That's March 5th. That's the day after the January 6th trial is supposed to commence in D.C. The Chutkan trial, the Jack Smith, yeah, the Trump trial. And Dom, Trump has not yet appealed the Colorado decision. Again, I believe he did so today. We've seen reporting. Today, the Colorado GOP's petition, meanwhile, already landed, urging the justices to take up the case with considerable speed. Here's a quote, Dom. For the first time in American history, a former president has been disqualified from the ballot. A political party has been denied the opportunity to put forward the presidential candidate of its choice. And the voters have been denied the ability to choose their chief executive through the electoral process. This unprecedented decision urgently merits the court's review. So what do you think?
I'm down, man. I can't wait to see this. I'd love to see how this actually, especially given, you know, the dynamic at the U.S. Supreme Court, you know, three of Trump's own justices on there. Right. And according also to The Hill, he's apparently fairly concerned about those justices on the ballot ruling. President Trump attorney Alina Haba on Wednesday said the former president is concerned the U.S. Supreme Court justice may shy away from being pro-Trump and rule against him in regard to the recent decisions in Colorado and Maine that kicked him off the ballot. Haba said during an interview on Fox News that Trump relayed to her, "That's a concern he's voiced to me. He's voiced to everybody publicly, not privately. And I can tell you his concern is a valid one. You know, Republicans are conservative. They get nervous and they unfortunately sometimes shy away from being pro-Trump because they feel that even if the law is on our side, they are swayed much like the Democratic side, right? Question mark. So they're trying so hard to look neutral that sometimes they make the wrong call."
Is that again, what it is? In an effort to overly... Be overly neutral.
Yes. They're overcompensating for their conservatism. I think Roe v. Wade would like to have a conversation about that. I don't buy it. And I think, you know, I do think that he is kind of in a box here. I don't know how those justices could allow him to be on those ballots. If Colorado has the rules in their state and the states have the right to run their elections as they see fit in their separate, you know, constitutions, all the states, and that's what they've decided and Maine's decided. I don't know. And again, to the point, the Republicans in the Colorado appeal didn't say, well, Donald Trump never, you know, engaged in insurrection. What they're saying is that, well, we want him, even though he engaged in insurrection, we still want him on the ballot. But that, you know, that's not how it works. You could want someone on the ballot that's, you know, 16 years old, 18 years old. They're not going to get there. You could want Arnold Schwarzenegger on the ballot. Elon Musk, not born U.S. citizens, man. They're not going to get there. He engaged in insurrection. It's prima facie, man. It's self-evident. We know it. I read you my little notes before. I'll do it again. This is how we know. And this is what the Supreme Court's going to have to decide. He called the mob. We'll be wild. And they came. He incited. Fight like hell. And they fought. They fumed. He said, go to the Capitol. I will go with you. And they went. And he said nothing for over 3 hours while they ransacked the Capitol and beat the hell out of the police. Then he said, go home. They left and went home. It seems like, you know, they're doing his bidding. Call me crazy, but, you know, we were there, man. We were on the air that day. You can pull the tape, pull the sound. It's all evident. It's all right there in front of you. Doing nothing is an action. He sat there while the Thin Blue Line got their ass beat by his supporters.
But answer my question. Riddle me this, Riddler. Will the U.S. Supreme Court restore Trump to the ballot? Will they find an ends justify the means way of doing so? I mean, this is Trump's court. How can they not restore him to his prior glory on the
ballot? They already rule against him on some of these civil issues as well? I mean, again, how could he?
On the question of immunity, he's been shot down. E. Jean Carroll came up again today. No, you're not immune from civil forfeiture for sexually assaulting a woman.
But they could.
They didn't have to go that way.
They could have gone another way, and they voted that. They ruled that way. Now, is it possible? Sure. Is it likely? Perhaps. But I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know how then if you're going to rule that Donald Trump can remain on the ballot and go against the state's constitutions and their own Supreme Court rulings, then you're going to have to articulate the formula. You know what I'm saying?
Conviction.
You got to identify.
No conviction. They get to set a standard. They set a standard. That's what courts do. The new standard is conviction. Standard hasn't been met. Trump's on the ballot. Boom. I write that one in about 10 minutes. I could write the dissents as well, but.
And what would the dissents be? Dissent be?
Upholding the U.S. Constitution, trying the 14th Amendment clause, the reams of evidence being presented, at least in the public, and we've got to assume Jack Smith knows more than we know. But let's see what Lou from Cudahy knows. Lou, what do you think? U.S. Supreme Court, it's up to them now. Should Trump be restored to the ballot? Should your man be put back on the ballot in Colorado and Maine, sir?
Hi, Lou.
Yeah, because all those people who might vote for him are being disenfranjudiced. This is politics.
Are they being disenfranchised because of Donald Trump's actions, though? I mean, Lou, if I may, you're saying that they're being disenfranchised, not because of the Colorado ruling, but because of Donald Trump's actions.
Socialists.
Yeah. Okay, I'm you said your point. I'm going to give you a chance to respond. I got you on mute, so I'm going to say it slowly. You're saying that those voters are being disenfranchised. I'm saying that it was Trump's actions, and for 3.5 hours, lack of action, that caused Colorado and Maine to boot him from eligibility to be on that primary ballot. And this also for the primary. We still don't know about the generals yet. There could be other states that decide on that. Given those scenarios that I laid out, Lou, isn't it really Trump's responsibility for his actions that day?
And it's also disenfranchisement. Too bad. Hey, you know what? Tom, are you still there?
Yep, go ahead.
Tom, are you there?
Yes.
Yes. Hey. Go ahead, Lou.
Oh, thank you. This is the collapse of the electoral system and done by people who hope to raid that system. And these activist judges in Colorado
If the electoral court is broken, should we go to a popular vote system,
this is
Lou?
Why people hate activist judges and activists. Anywhere.
Well, we'll see if we have an activist U.S. Supreme Court in regards, Lou, to Trump. But should we go by the popular vote? If the electoral system's broken, the solution's the popular vote then, right, Lou?
The system is being wrecked and being wrecked on purpose.
Could your guy ever win a popular vote, Lou? Could Trump win the popular vote?
Did he get convicted?
Did he win the popular vote, Lou? No, he won the Electoral College.
According to their legal filings today, Curdy, there's no evidence that Joe Biden won the election. Come back with us, 844-967-2789.
The Tap. Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artists. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Hey, well, have a good day.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 93.5, The Tap.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, taking your calls at 844-967-2789. Donald Trump appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court. Please, please put me back on the ballot in Colorado and Maine. Getting your thoughts on this topic today. Once again, 844-967-2789.
Don, we got some thoughts coming through on the text line as well. Wes from Milton says, I did see Peepaw standing there behind MAGA white Christian nationalist Mike Johnson, ignoring the migrants in the river. Now it was brought to our attention. We're not covering the real headlines. Where the Republicans want our attention is on the southern border. So I mentioned it briefly. Now, Speaker Johnson ignoring the migrants in the river. What a bunch of sorry-assed opportunist hacks. It would be one thing if they actually had some sort of plan other than close the border and drill, baby, drill. If they don't, what a bunch of shams. Another text here. Glad to see Van Orden made it back safely after negotiating for Middle East peace as a delegation of one. Can we leave that guy in 2024, please?
Please.
Please. What else here? Reminder, immunity was shot down with Paula Jones sued of President Clinton and Republicans helped her. They didn't argue he was immune. Did they? I don't think they did. 844-967-2789. Our pal Dana up in God's country notes, they just continually parrot the same things over and over, every one of them. They say the same things every day, all day. Well, those are called the talking points. Here's one more. If Crudy's going to Iowa, maybe see if he can't get in touch with that teenage D's Nuts kid. You know, I met Brady Olson, I think his name was. I was very respectful.
He's not a teenager anymore, man. He's got to be like full on in his 20s by now.
I would hope he's nearing graduation from college or perhaps pursuing a, you know, career in the trades or politics or something. It'd be interesting to hear what happened after these last 8 years. Now that he can vote, who do he think looks good in 2024? And of course, the usual question regarding recreational cannabis legalization. DA listeners like this stuff. D's Nuts. I wonder what that kid's up to.
We got to find out, man.
We are going back. I am going back to Iowa. I think Dom's joining me. It's the For the Love of Democracy tour. And I'm going starting this January 6th, this Saturday. I'm going to go see Trump in Newton, Iowa. Next Wednesday, I'm going to be in Des Moines. Dom, staying the night. Going to party my ass off at the Marriott, the hotel bar there in the lobby. I'm looking for some loose lips. You understand? Only two Republicans are making it on the debate stage. Haley, Nikki. What do they call her? Bird brain now? Trump's trying to make a moniker stick.
Of the day is. Yep. Yep.
And Ron DeSantis. And the newest news, Haley has leapfrogged DeSantis in the national polling. He's number three. He's not going to make it out of Iowa, Dom. Now, he did exceed Scott Walker's frustration.
I was going to say, there's a prediction that went down, Crudy.
Longer Scott Walker never made than it 71 time. Days, and he did make it to Iowa, seemingly, but he's not quite there yet.
And Donald Trump will not be showing up on the debate stage in Iowa, correct?
No, he will be doing a counter-programming Fox News town hall from Des Moines that night.
Donald Trump hasn't done one primary presidential debate.
He has not. 844-967-2789. Jeannie, top of the list from Eau Claire. Welcome back, Jeannie. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jeannie.
Just, and you know what? Trump, he can't even go and face his competitors on the stage. Great man. Oh, my gosh. And then I got to go. Our candidate is a criminal, and we got to make up all the excuses we can to keep him on the ballot. So that's what I got to say, guys. And keep up the great work. I hate it when people bully you guys because you're outstanding. Keep up the great work. Love ya, and I'm thankful for ya, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Jeannie.
Bye, Jeannie. Happy New Year to you as well.
If anyone's bullying around here, it's me on you.
Come on, man. Bullying only works if you're bullied. That doesn't happen, man. We're just talking over here, man. There's no bullying going on.
You can kick sand in our face, but we'll beat your ass for it.
2, 7, 8, 9. Now, this is about the conversation. And, you know, I got thick skin, Jeannie. We'll be all right. Once again, 844-967.
Especially in the midriff. You're very thick through that part of your skin.
Yeah, especially after this holiday season. Joe from Madison, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Joe.
I just wanted to counter some of the language that's being used that when some of the more conservative callers are calling in terms of talking about due process or disenfranchisement or disenfranchising the voters or saying that you have to have a conviction.
When did Lou start worrying about disenfranchised voters, Joe?
Yeah, kind of ironic in this state, isn't it? Geez, people are really worried. Yeah, there are a lot of other examples they could look at. But I would like to point out there is a great article out of all the weird places that I would have never expected. It's the Cato Institute, C-O-T-O or C-A-T-T-O. And as people will know, the Cato Institute is not known for being liberal. It is an extremely conservative organization. It has a title of a December 20 piece saying, agree with it or not, Colorado Supreme Court opinion, disqualifying Trump is a triumph of judicial engagement. And it goes through what they put together in the 200 plus pages when they made their arguments about this Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. It's really important to understand that, you know, Trump was not, when you talk about due process, he got due process. He got 5 days of testimony where he could bring in whatever he wanted to say. He could counter arguments that are made. He had legal representation there in front of a judge, which is what happens in a civil case like this. He has not been criminally charged with insurrection by the Colorado courts there. He has, the question at large is he qualified to run for president under the 14th Amendment? And so what they're looking at, it's not as under punishment, there's no liability, it is simply, did he make the cut? And the answer is no, because he engaged in insurrection. Now, I had a question about how did they define insurrection? And apparently what this Cato article says is that they took, decided it kind of, if you will, by the current standards within a dictionary definition. And they go through in this article and they describe his actions and how they meet the standard of insurrection. And why this is important is because we have said we don't want to have someone be a president who previously said they were going to uphold the Constitution and then goes ahead and trashes it. We've been quite clear about that. We don't want that. And I would also throw in there that he is not given anything worse than another guy who was a county commissioner in New Mexico, participated in January 6th. He had sworn an oath to the Constitution, and this guy, his first name is Goy, C-O-U-Y, last name Griffin, Otero County, New Mexico, and he basically went through the same kind of bench trial that Trump did, and guess what? They viewed that he had engaged in insurrection, and he had to step down from his position and couldn't be a commissioner because he had taken an oath, and he violated it with his actions on January 6th.
Joe, appreciate your argument. I would point out the Maine Secretary of State Bellows. The Republicans there are now moving forward with a full-blown impeachment. They want to remove her from office for the temerity of trying to uphold the U.S. Constitution. So that's their latest action. You know, vengeance will be theirs. You know, law and order style.
And great points, Joe. And I would encourage people, and I don't think Lou probably, and perhaps CJ and some of our other mega callers, actually read the Colorado ruling. They just don't like it that their guy's not on the ballot. For the Devil's Advocates, coming back with your calls, 844-967-2789.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
¶¶
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More babies were born in Wisconsin in the year and a half no abortions were performed in the state. The IZA Institute of Labor Economics says Wisconsin's birth rate went up 2.5% while Planned Parenthood paused abortions. Abortions resumed after a Madison judge ruled that consensual abortions are legal in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's minimum wage remains at $7.25, while 22 other states raised their baseline pay this week. Economists say raising the minimum wage can actually be good for a business's bottom line.
There's actually a payoff that employers are receiving because while they've raised the wage, they're also reducing costs associated with turnover and open positions that they can't fill.
Laura Dresser studied the issue for the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Menominee High School boys hockey team hosted a fundraiser during its game on Tuesday, hoping to raise $5,000 for the ALS Foundation. According to a WQOW report, players featured red uniforms and tape, and fans purchased shirts and buttons in support of the cause during their game against Chippewa Falls. At the end of the night, the Mustangs made it about 80% to the $5,000 goal of their Stick It to ALS fundraiser, raising $4,061 for the ALS Foundation. An Eau Claire County Sheriff's deputy saved a man who had gotten stuck under an oak tree on Tuesday. Deputy Steven Schlewitz first responded to the call and used the victim's chainsaw with Sergeant Derek Rishi to cut the large tree off of him. The man was treated by Eau Claire emergency personnel after being released from under the tree and did not require hospitalization for any serious injuries. Deputy Schlewitz received praise from the department for his quick response and taking decisive action to save the man. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Brewers make a trade. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers, always looking to add pitchers, made a trade with the Dodgers. They sent left-hander Justin Chambers and a player to be named to L.A. in exchange for pitcher Brian Hudson, a 26-year-old lefty who appeared in six games in relief last season for the Dodgers. NBA, the Bucks in Indiana to play the Pacers. NFL, defensive back Jair Alexander is back with the Pack after a one-week suspension for conduct detrimental to the team.
I was surprised by the suspension. I thought maybe I'd get fined.
Jair says he plans to play this week. Quarterback Jordan Love, after his four-touchdown performance against the Vikings, named the NFC Player of the Week for the first time in his career. Love on facing the Bears, who have won four of their last five games.
I think they're pretty dangerous. I think they're a good team. They've been playing well lately. They have the power to send us home. So, like I said, it's a big game, and I think everybody in this locker room is excited for it and ready for the opportunity to take our season to the postseason.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Are you ready to get smacked with a cold front?
It's dropping south through the state today, bringing flurries and light snow chances throughout the afternoon. Only a trace is expected to accumulate, but temperatures plummeting to the teens tonight and providing plenty of sunshine for tomorrow. Currently, it's 28.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making, getting the book so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling through the Wednesday happy hour, taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Dom, I've got to at least acknowledge what the Republicans are up to today, why they've started the impeachment of the head of the Department of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, right? Joe Biden's guy. And I did see Mayorkas quoted. I saw him literally say that he will cooperate with the impeachment proceedings. You know, you want to investigate? Here I am. I'll answer any of your questions. I also saw that the House Speaker, Mike Johnson, was down on the southern border, you know, playing a little politics down there, calling it a catastrophe, Dom. That's how they're describing it. You know, the Mike Johnson found this coverage over at the CNN. House Speaker Mike Johnson knocks Biden for catastrophe at the border during the Texas visit. And I'm pretty damn sure it's Derek Van Orden standing over his left shoulder.
Absolutely is. I can see it right now.
That's Van Orden, is it not? Right down there on border. Looking over Johnson's shoulder. House Speaker MAGA Mike Johnson criticized President Joe Biden on Wednesday for the mayhem he witnessed at the U.S.-Mexico border, saying in an interview with CNN's Jake Tapper that the Biden administration isn't doing its job. Here's a quote. The catastrophe can come to an end if the Biden administration will do its job, and they refuse to do it. Johnson traveled with more than 60 House Republicans on Wednesday to Eagle Pass, Texas. Eagle Pass, Dom, that's one of the, you know, bottleneck points. At the same time, the Republican House Senate negotiators are trying to hammer out a bipartisan border agreement as part of a broader funding package for Ukraine, Israeli aid, and border security. And questions are swirling about how House Republicans would react should a deal be reached. Because nobody's consulting with the House Republicans. They do have a modest majority. Although
Very modest and a shrinking majority.
I see somebody's quitting to go become the head of a college president or something. Couple more Republicans quitting mid-session, Dom. Not even waiting till retirement age. A little bit more here, Dom. In the interview Wednesday, Johnson threw cold water on the Senate negotiations. So they're not going to go along with anything. And, oh, yeah, now that we're in January, aren't we less than 2 weeks from a government shutdown?
Yeah, very coming up real quick.
Right around the Iowa caucus this time, you'll see the Iowa caucus result, and you'll see the government probably shutting down, or Mike Johnson will soon be the former Speaker of the House because any deal making, that's a bad thing, Dom.
If the government shuts down, then who's gonna patrol the border? I'm just asking for, you know, people who have these thoughts.
Speaker Johnson argued that the problem wasn't going to be solved simply with more money. The Biden administration requested in its supplemental $14 billion for the border, along with additional funds for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, and said that the House passed provisions were needed to reduce the number of people crossing the border. So there is a solution there. You just don't like the $14 billion being offered? This is not about sending more money down here. It's about changing the policy. And the White House seems to not understand that, Johnson said. He just can't pick and choose single policy changes like reforms to asylum rules, Johnson said, and expect that you're going to solve the problem. Johnson visited Eagle Pass with a large group of his members as the GOP conference has made the border a focal point of criticism of Biden and his administration. CNN reported Wednesday that House Republicans are forging ahead. I mentioned this, Dom, with steps to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas over his handling of the border. It was pretty porous when Trump was the president. Trump didn't actually seal the border. But I did hear Ron Johnson say yesterday on an inferior Whitey Righty radio product that we want literally no people passing across the border. Going to shut it down. All the trade, all the migration, the drugs, everything. Literal seizure, shutdown of the border. I'm thinking, what's that going to cost, Ron? And the Department of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, I know he's not popular with the Republicans, but he has been there in the negotiations, acting in a capacity of, let's call it, reality. Like, if you do this, what will happen? does Homeland Security have the resources to, let's say, seal the entire southern border, which we've never successfully sealed in the entire history of our country, but we're going to do it because Ron Johnson wants it done. And Mike Johnson took some buddies down to the border, including Derek Van Orden. Now it's all going to be solved, Dom. They're not looking for solutions.
The first deadline, midnight, January 19th. This is for the funding for the appropriations, agricultural, rural development, food and drug administration, energy and water, military construction, veterans affairs, and transportation. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just coming up in the 19th. So they're taking a little trip to the border. Also, from the CNN piece here, Crudy, on Monday, border authorities encountered around 2,500 migrants at the U.S. southern border, a dramatic drop from the mid-December when daily arrests topped 10,000, according to a senior administration official. Fewer than 500 migrants were apprehended on Monday at the Del Rio sector, which was slammed with thousands of arrivals in late December. White House National Security Supplemental request included the $14 billion Crudy mentioned. On Biden on Tuesday urged Congress to provide the funding. We got to do something. They ought to give me the money. I need to protect the border, Biden said when asked by a reporter what he's going to do about the southern border. Isn't it a good thing people want to come in this country, right? Don't we want your huddled masses and want people to come in and take the jobs, right? Get some work done here. I mean, isn't that what we want? People that are yearning to be free?
Dominic, if you'll recall, I went and saw Ron Johnson, and he is the obstructionist. He's bragging about the fact he is stopping all negotiations if he can. Now, he's not really part of the negotiations, but he is the most intransigent member of the U.S. Senate on this topic. And I did see him and Brian Stile down in Whitewater. You'll recall, Dom, I went and visited. And at that time, they were flanked by law enforcement people. And at the Journal Sentinel today, it says the Whitewater police chief has sent a letter to Biden asking for help with immigration. That's where Brian Stile and Ron Johnson were. So a little bit from this story, Dom, at the Journal Sentinel. And we will get to your calls, 844-967-2789. Whitewater Police Chief Daniel Meyer sent a letter to President Joe Biden and other national and state officials last week asking for resources to assist the city with an increase in immigrants from Nicaragua and Venezuela. In his letter, Meyer noted that Whitewater has a population of about 15,000 and has seen 800 to 1,000 immigrants arrive since early 2022. As a municipal government, our focus is not on legal status, but rather ensuring we are providing the resources expected of a municipality to all residents of the city. Unfortunately, we are increasingly finding it is difficult to do that. Now, at that time, Dom, the law enforcement agents said even the Spanish is different. That was one of the complaints. They don't have the interpreters necessary. These Venezuelan and Argentinian people that have come across and apparently are making residence somewhere near Whitewater in Walworth County, apparently they speak a different dialect of Spanish, and this has been very challenging, and they're talking about being under-resourced. So a little bit more here. Meyer said officers have seen poor living conditions and responded to multiple sexual assaults and other crimes, including the death of an infant. None of this information is shared as a means of denigrating or vilifying the group of people. We see great value in the increasing diversity that this group brings to our community. We simply need to ensure that we can continue to properly serve this group. Meyer asked for help in funding additional staff, including an immigrant liaison position, or creating a grant opportunity the city could apply for. And Whitewater Wise reported that Meyer presented the letter to the Common Council in mid-December, where the council also indicated it would write a letter of its own. Meyer's letter was sent to 13 officials, Dom, including VP Kamala Harris, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, Governor Tony Evers, Ron Johnson, Tammy Baldwin, Brian Stile, Scott Fitzgerald, and state lawmakers that represent the area. It is a real issue. I have no doubt that some of these places are being overwhelmed. And certainly we even see what, as they'd be described on Fox News, blue city mayors. Well, they're distressed because some of these red state governors are sending the migrants, you know, with little or no resources or forewarning or whatever the case may be. But they claim they're doing so in an effort to show them how terrible it is. Now, I did see, as part of the reporting at CNN today, just this afternoon, Don, the state of Texas has decided that they're going to pass a state law. They're going to deal with migrants in their own way, Texas way. Well, that, of course, is against federal law. Only the federal government can set laws for migration across the borders. So my understanding is the Biden administration today sued the state of Texas. I think it's proper that they do so. But I think we are being short-sighted as liberals, progressives, blue dogs, whatever we find ourselves on the spectrum, if we don't acknowledge that this is a really big issue, and it is starting to overwhelm some of the municipalities, some of them even locally. So we can't pretend like immigration's not an issue. But it's certainly not the issue that Fox News would make it. And it's going to be nothing but caravans from now to November, Dom, because that's all they're going to be talking about. The overwhelming
immigration, asylum. There's lots of moving parts to all of this, and it goes up and down and trends, and it's been higher lately, historically.
Well, substantially, 8 or 9 million, quote unquote, illegal immigrants, as Ron Johnson described them yesterday on a radio hit, have entered the country in the last 3 years, according to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. But he did have some access to this inside information. I mean, he was the chair of HISGAC, Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs. And we know this has been Ron's sweet spot, right? His hot topic issue. You're never going to be able to deal with Ron successfully and the terrorist in the Republican Senate side. But why are they even bothering? I mean, if you get the House yahoos to contend with as well, is this bill even going to make it to the floor? Are they ever going to fund foreign policy or foreign aid again, Dom? Or are we in intransigent mode? I would wonder, are we moving forward with any of this going forward?
Is there an opportunity to address the challenges, or do the politicians want to continue to make this a continuing issue? I mean, what if you solve the issue, if you manage the issue, well, then it doesn't become a club to beat your competitor with.
But so Ron Johnson would claim that
Johnson wants, when he wants to sit on his hands and stall everything, or when Mike Johnson, you know, the very religious and devout Mike Johnson, and what did Jesus say about the immigrants and the neighbors and all that? I don't remember it all.
Keep them in Mexico and take their children.
Exactly. Separate them from their children. That's what Jesus would do. You know, I'm not clear that there you have willing negotiators on both sides. And this has been an issue that could have been dealt with over the years. I mean, hell, Ronald Reagan, what, he gave amnesty to everybody, right? Ronald Reagan allowed people in here. Where's that? And again, I got to tell you, certainly if we have asylum issues, right, and what is the historical context of not only the U.S. government policy in Central and Southern America, but also our, you know, look at the business over the last, you know, 100 years. What is our responsibility for the people in this world, man? I think there's it's a very complex issue. But at the end of the day, when someone's going to walk that far and travel and meet those challenges to come and try to be free, I mean, those are the people we want here, man. And if there are people taking advantage of asylum rules, sure. People take advantage of tax rules, Republicans. You don't seem to have a problem with that. Well, there are real people that are escaping, you know, terrible situations that need asylum, that want asylum. And we have an obligation as a country to provide it.
But Ron's contention is this policy is intentional. It's far beyond incompetence, according to Ron, this open borders policy, as he would describe it. And he doesn't want to make a deal, according to Ron. He wants a solution. And the only acceptable solution to Ron is a complete closure of the southern border. Zero migration. And when we get to that point,
shoot them? You're going to start shooting people at the southern border, Ron? I'm just curious how you make that happen. And what about everyone flying in? How is that going to work? Are people overstaying their visas? You're going to shoot them too? I'm just really wondering what the practical application is for your solution, Senator Johnson.
Come back. More Devils.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. and click on the Careers tab.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
The Devil's Advocates. Radio for the 99%.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It is our last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789. Stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show is coming up at
Dom, I'm also appreciating many of the fine texts coming in on the text line. Same phone number, 844-967-2789. Or get you that shiny Civic Media app. Makes it very easy. A couple of the texters, one on the WMDX line. Mike Johnson wants a shoot first, don't ask questions later policy. And another one, this is a fine one. Was Derek Van Orden drunk and yelling at the immigrant children? He does have a history.
Yes, he does.
L.A. Tom says, Joe Biden has said he's willing to work on immigration and is ready to deal. And he knows it's a big deal. I believe you, Tom, but I'm not sure that Republicans want to make a deal. And then apparently Jeff likes your musical taste, Wall of Voodoo. Well done, Nate. 844-967-2789. Jack from the SAC, welcome. Merrimack, that is. Welcome, Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Thank you.
If you'd open up the ferry, I could get to the SAC, but continue.
It's frozen, so what can you say? Johnson & Johnson, what a couple of wonderful new Johnson & Johnson incompetence. Anyway, so ever since at least 2015, and considerably before that to some extent, there's been this narrative from the Republican, and that is, them immigrants, they're going to come over that Texas border, and they're going to replace you, them illegals. Well, the illegals can't vote, so they're not going to replace anybody. But they're going to steal your job. With a 3% unemployment rate, it doesn't seem that that's working that way either.
But Jack, the argument, if you'll recall, that Tucker Carlson made and that some of these white nationalists have effectively adopted is they're going to dilute the white man's vote and that we're just letting him over the border because we want him here so we can dilute the white man's vote. The great replacement theory, Jack. What do you think about their theory?
Yeah, well, with a few thousand or even a few hundred thousand and 330 million Americans, there's something wrong with that math, too. They're not replacing anybody to any significant extent. There might be a couple of individual places here and there where the immigrant population is large enough to cause a strain on local resources. But nationally, not a chance. The big thing is, though, this impeachment of Mayorkas is absolutely ridiculous. It's the typical Republican. We cut the funding, then we say, oh, gee, the government doesn't work in that area that we cut the funding from, and it's all the Democrats' fault. Well, that's their normal ploy. But they've had 2 years, 2016 to 2018, where the Republicans were in complete control of both houses and the presidency, and they did nothing significant to change the immigration policy. And a lot of those people are still in Congress, and a lot of those people had no propositions to help with that, and or if there were any, they voted them down or voted against them. Those are the people that should be impeached if you're going to impeach anybody, because they're simply obstructing a real solution. My opinion, for what it's worth.
At least 2 cents, Jack. Appreciate it, man. 844-967-2789.
On this topic, apparently Mike Johnson was on the CNN with Jake Tapper here recently, and Ross Story wrote it up. Tapper demanded to know why Johnson didn't push forward. President Joe Biden's proposed $14 billion package that would send emergency funding to the Department of Homeland Security and other agencies that work on Mexico border security. That won't help, Johnson proclaimed. That won't do a darn thing. Tapper appeared staggered by Johnson's explanation that the only solution to the quote-unquote humanitarian crisis was stop completely the flow of migrants seeking entry to the U.S. I'm sure the Border Patrol agents that you're with think it might do something in terms of making their job a little easier, Tapper said. No, actually, they don't, Johnson snapped. They don't want the $14 billion, Tapper asked again. Johnson took a long pause before replying. It's about changing the policy, Johnson said. The White House seems not to understand that. Tapper then called Johnson on former President Donald Trump's immigration policy that, despite campaign promises, proved unable to secure the southern border. Absolutely. Quote, even President Trump couldn't turn the faucet off, Tapper said. It's the presidency. It's not a magician. Johnson's replies did not sit well with Twitter users who saw the video and accused Johnson of playing politics. Republicans are not interested in solving any problems at the border. If they fix the border problem before the 2024 election, what else do they have to fearmonger their base? I think that's some of the points we were making here today.
Dominic, there is breaking news. According to CNN, the Epstein files have been released. There won't be time. They're reviewing the documents now. I'll do my own review at home later tonight. In the bed.
Is Aaron Rodgers on that list?
I'm not sure. Now, Aaron Rodgers, the former Packer quarterback with a bad Achilles heel, accused Jimmy Kimmel, said Jimmy Kimmel's hoping he's not on the Epstein list. And Jimmy Kimmel responded something along the lines with, you're endangering my family. I'm not on anybody's list, you ass. And if we have to debate these finer points of fact, it'll be in a court of law. Do you think Jimmy Kimmel is going to sue Aaron Rodgers for defamation? I mean, we sort of started the day. The legal pleadings of the Trump campaign, just making it up, just grabbing stuff from social media and trying to use it as justification legally.
Words that you say can and sometimes should have consequences. A one-off from Rodgers on Kimmel, and I don't know what their beef is or whatever the case may be, but I just joked, is Aaron Rodgers on the list? Because, of course, Aaron Rodgers brought it up. Now, am I going to get sued by Aaron Rodgers? So there's some room to move there, but it's not funny. There's very terrible things that went on here, and I think Kimmel has the right to be offended and not take it as a joke.
CJ is doing a word search right now for Slick Willie Bill Clinton, but I bet he skips the Trump. I think Trump took a few flights on the Lolita Airlines. We'll cover that tomorrow on this big show, Dom. Can't wait. Well, the Devils, never a bomb, hump day edition. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll do it for you again tomorrow. We've got a Rear Admiral in studio, Dom, talking January 6th. Hope you stick around for that. And stick around for the Maggie Dawn Show. That's next. Then the Empowered Caregiver and Nightlight with the Pete Schwabba. Have a great night, everyone.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.